Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti, Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai, Prem Sri Kaho, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Shama Sundar Gopa Gopinath, Shamakunda, Radhakunda, Giri Govardhan ki jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Mathura Dham ki jai, Navadvip Dham ki jai, Jagannath Puri Dham ki jai, New Raman Reti Dham ki jai, Gaur Premanandi, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, glories to Srila Prabhupada, Nama Om Vishnu, Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Saranati Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nivishesha Srinivadi Pasyatya Desitarane Hare Krishna, welcome to our cooling Sunday feast program. It's cooling for the soul. That's what you have to keep just thinking. It's cooling down your soul from all the heat of the material world. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, I'm going to speak tonight from Bhagavad Gita, as you might have guessed, from the second chapter, just the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, and text number 7, right? It's text number 7. But it's going to take me a few minutes to get there. I'm going to give you a little backstory, a little background information, and fill you in on where I want to go in the lecture, talking about decisions, how to make a good decision. So as we read Bhagavad Gita, for those of us who are in the Hare Krishna movement, we read Bhagavad Gita a lot. It's a guidebook for us. For those of you who aren't as familiar with Bhagavad Gita as that, Bhagavad Gita was spoken. It's a conversation, a flowing conversation between Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his devotee Arjuna. Now Arjuna was in a very perplexing situation at this particular point. In fact, the whole Bhagavad Gita was pretty perplexed, but beginning, he was really perplexed. Because there, the circumstance that brought this, it's spoken on a battlefield, Bhagavad Gita is spoken, and actually it's sung. So there they are on a battlefield, there's two sides. And it was old-time warfare, not new time warfare where you never stand in front of the person that you're going to fight, you hide someplace or whatever, you send a drone or you do this, or not like that. The two contending parties were lined up on this particularly flat field, a huge expansive field, flat, so you could say a level ground, and the two sides are lined up, millions on this side and millions on that side, literally, and millions of people were involved in this battle. Circumstance, I'll just briefly, it was not just a war, not just a fight between two different countries or this and that. It was a fight, it was a family fight. Those are the hardest ones. Family feuds. It was family feud personified, you know? And the rightful heir to the throne and his supporters were on one side. And the person who was trying to keep and usurp the throne was on the other side with thousands and millions of followers also. So here's the thing. Now, like, at least circumstantially, we got two sides of the room here. So this side, that side, right? So if you're standing in the middle between the two sides, and you look over there and you see there's your sister and your cousin and your brother and you this and you that and this and that, that's one thing, right? But look on this side. There's your cousins and your brothers and your father-in-law and your teachers and you're this one and you're that one. And they're all this side and that side. They were all relatives and friends and well known to Arjuna. Well known. He had relationships with everybody on that field. So it was a very difficult situation for him. Rightfully, his elder brother Yudhisthira was the rightful heir to the throne, and it was trying to be stolen from him by his cousin brother. So they had tried many different strategies to avert the war, this, that, and nothing came through. So finally it was down to the wire, literally and figuratively, down to the wire. Everyone had chosen sides, and there he was. And he was well prepared. Arjuna was well prepared. He had trained his whole life. He came in a family of warriors. He had trained his whole life. He used to play warrior games as a child. He studied in warrior school, so many things. And he was expert in his field. But what he wasn't prepared for was the impact of getting in between the two armies and seeing cousins and brothers on one side, cousins and brothers on the other side. He wasn't prepared for that impact. And when the shock of that impact hit him, it's described that he lost his composure and he didn't want to fight. And his prized weapons, like his bow and everything, they just all slipped from his hand. And he was like totally bewildered. And his decision was, I don't want to fight. I don't want to fight. He was, okay, another little piece of information. He was the major contending force. He alone was such a powerful warrior that he was the major contending force of all of the millions. 640 million warriors were there. He was the superstar. So there was a lot of weight on his shoulders, a lot of responsibility on his shoulders, a lot of training and preparation and et cetera, et cetera. And even, you know, it wasn't just blind animosity. It wasn't just like, it was a religious war that the right to be the rulers, and it was being stolen from them by very deceitful means. Okay, that's so there he gets that impact of seeing friends and friends, family and family, teachers, great esteemed teachers that taught him all his warrior skills on the other side. So many things. It was such a shock to him that he lost his composure and decided, I am out of here. Because this isn't going to bring me happiness. If I use my skill and kill everybody on this side, it's not going to make me happy. How am I going to be happy if I kill all my cousins and brothers? You know? So he made his decision. And then he was even more confused. Is it the right decision? Was that the right thing? You know, I've got a lot of weight. Anyway, that's the backstory. I just wanted to bring you up to that point, you know. What lessons can we learn even just from this scenario in our life, which isn't at all like that, but still, life has decisions that we have to make. And what's going to be the basis for making our decision? That's what I want to bring up tonight. What's the basis for making our decision? Arjuna, he made his decision on his own. And when he made his decision on his own, he said, I'm not going to fight. And Krishna said, you're just a fool, young man. You think you're speaking. And if you read the beginning, if you read the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna presents all his arguments as to why this battle is going to be very harmful to society. You know, because he's about to kill 640 million people, you know, with the help of other people too. What effect is that going to have on society? What effect is that going to have on families? How many children are going to be left homeless? How many women are going to be left unprotected? He gives really moral, very nice, expert arguments as to why he shouldn't fight. It wasn't just a whimsical, I don't feel like it. It wasn't that. He gave so many arguments. And Krishna said to him, when he said, I'm not going to fight, Krishna said, you're speaking as if you're a learned person, but you don't really know what learning is and what to base your decision on. So that's where we are. We're on text 7 of second chapter. The second chapter is the whole summary of the Gita. So now that half the time is over, we'll just chant the, can we chant the verse together? Because it looks like a lot of familiar faces that will know this verse. Okay? Karpanya dosho patata svabhava Prichyami tvam dharma samudha cheta Yachtrayam sham nishtitam bruhitan me Shishashteham sarimam tvam prapanam. And I just forgot one really important thing that I just realized was Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Jananjana Salakaya Chakshur Umilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. Therefore, I'm indebted to him. I'm eternally indebted to him, and I beg for service life after life. Hare Krishna. So I'm going to just read through the word for word, okay, for this verse, because each word has a very significant meaning. Karpanya, of miserliness, dosha, by the weakness. So he's weak-minded. Upahata, being afflicted. Svabhava, characteristics. Prichyami, I am asking. This is Arjuna speaking. I am asking. Tvam, unto you. Dharma, religion. Samudha, bewildered. Cheta, in heart. Yat, what? Shreya, all good. All good. Syat, may be. Nishchitam, confidently. Bruhi, tell. Tat, that. May, unto me. Shisha, disciple. Te, your. Aham, I am. Sadi, just instruct. Mam, me. Tvam, unto you. Prapanam, surrendered. So this is Arjuna. In the midst of his confusion, he said, you know, he's going back and forth. I'm not going to fight. I should fight. Now I'm confused about my duty, and I've lost all composure because of miserly weakness. In this condition, I'm asking you to tell me for certain what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. So this is a different mood that Arjuna's exhibiting now here. Previously, he was telling Krishna, I'm not going to do this, this is wrong, this, that, this, that. Then as his bewilderment and confusion grew to a crescendo, he realized, I don't have the capacity to figure out what's best for me on my own. And he took a very major decision and a very wise decision and asked Krishna, who just happens to be sitting right there on his chariot, and he just happens to be not just an ordinary chariot driver, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he asked God, what's best? And if you just want to take a neutral position, that's a pretty good stand that he took, right? You know, there he had the opportunity to ask the Supreme Lord, what's best? And so the all-knowing Supreme Lord is going to be able to see past, present, and future. He's going to see everything, and he's going to understand what's best. Not just what's best, what's going to make you feel good for the moment, but what's best, what's the outcome. So we'll talk about that more as we go along, if I ever get to the purport, which I'm going to do right now. So Arjuna took that decision right there, right? So here's one thing that we can learn. When we have important decisions in life to make, perhaps we can acknowledge that maybe just on my own isn't the best decision that I can make. Because what's my experience? My experience is limited to what I've experienced in this life, and that's pretty small, especially if you've lived in Alachua. But anyway, you know, it's pretty narrow, right? But maybe someone who has more experience in life, who has a broader vision, who has more wisdom, I'm just thinking of what I'm not going to say right now. Okay, somebody who has more wisdom can help guide me. I need guidance. That's the cry of the soul. The soul, and that could be one lesson that we take from this, just one of the many lessons, that the soul needs guidance. It needs guidance along the way. There's so many choices in life to make, and who can say that they're making the best decision with all the choices that there are, and the results are going to be positive and this and that, and it's all going to be all good and hunky-dory, as they say. Who can really say that with utmost confidence? Unless one is taking shelter of the Supreme Lord and begging and asking for his guidance. So that's one lesson. And don't think, oh, but that's Arjuna. He was that circumstance is unique. My circumstance is different. I don't have God to ask, or maybe I do have God to ask, but I don't know what he'd say, and I don't know if I can hear his answer properly. I do have little voices in my head telling me this and that and this and that, but are they the voice of the Lord? Am I qualified to hear the voice and guidance of the Lord? Maybe not directly through my head and my imagination, but through his guiding light of scriptures, yes. And perhaps other people who have studied, not just armchair study, but studied and lived the philosophy for years together, maybe they could shed some light on things. So that one thing is ask for help. Another thing is don't be afraid to ask. I guess that should be first, right? Don't be afraid to ask and then ask for help. How's that? Okay, so I'm just going to read a couple of paragraphs. It's a long purport, relatively long, but short amount of time. So, Srila Prabhupada, he gives a commentary to all of the verses in the Bhagavad Gita, so to help us bring it to our daily life. Srila Prabhupada's purport. By nature's own way, the complete system of material activities is a source of perplexity for just a couple of people. Nope. Wrong. It's a source of perplexity for everyone. So sometimes, you know, when we're talking about decisions here, how to make decisions, we're not talking about what to eat for dinner or, you know, what color clothes to put on. No, really important life changing or life impression decisions, you need guidance. And in order, and it's not just guidance on the decision, but we need to be grounded as to who we are and what we want. And that we can also get help from Bhagavad Gita too, because Bhagavad Gita tells us, hey, you know what? You're not your body. If you think that your decision is based on your bodily comforts, what's going to bring you happiness, wealth, prosperity, this and that, that's okay. That's a valid thing to base your decision on. But it's not going to bring you happiness, because there's some fundamental error in your calculation right there. And the fundamental error is that material things are going to make me, the soul, happy. If we open our eyes with the torchlight of knowledge, if we open our eyes and see around so many people and so many personalities for so many hundreds and thousands of years have made decisions on what's going to make me and my body happy, and have they achieved that? To some extent, yes. Okay, we're not saying that everybody's completely miserable, but to some extent, yes. But to the majority, to the greater view of things, no, it doesn't make them happy. Because if we're misidentifying who the me is, how can I be happy? If we're misidentifying who we really are, how can we be happy? By having what? Our basic necessities taken care of. What? Money, health, career, whatever. Some basic necessities in life. We need those things. But if that's based on I'm my body and I want a good job or a good education so that I can make more money so that that will make me happy, many people before have done that and haven't achieved that happiness. And it's very obvious once you open your eyes to that. It's very obvious. Just like we've heard from day one, materialistic life, you're hearing money, career, and health, that'll make me happy, right? So now think that through. When you're young, oh, time, and if I have enough time to enjoy those things, that'll make me happy. So when you're young, you've got two of those things. You've got time, and you've got health, but you don't have much money. Okay, so in the future, there's a promise. In the future, if you go to that school, you get that job, and then you'll have money. Okay, so then you'll have, so then when in middle age, not just in the beginning part of middle age either, but end of middle age, you might have enough money, and you'll still have your health, but you won't have very much time because you'll be working really hard to maintain all that things that you've acquired and want to acquire. And then at the end of life, you'll have plenty of time and probably plenty of money. But your knees don't work, you can't sit down anymore, you can't stand up, you can't remember your name, you can't remember this, that, or this, that. So you don't, it's never all three of them are ever there for very long together. So this is what, so Krishna is bringing, more or less, he's bringing Arjuna to that point of realization. Yes, life is full of perplexities, and everyone goes through those perplexities. And if we base our desire to be happy on my selfish motivations, what's going to make me happy, I'm probably going to be very disappointed in the long run and in the short run. So now I'm going to read the second sentence in the purport. In every step there is perplexity, and therefore it behooves one to approach a bona fide spiritual master who can give one proper guidance for executing the purpose of life. All Vedic literatures advise us to approach a bona fide spiritual master to get free from the perplexities of life, which happen without our desire. They are like a forest fire that somehow blazes without being set by anyone. Does that make you think of anything? Recent news headlines? A forest fire that blazes without being set by anyone? And all the suffering and the hundreds and thousands of people and the whole island that was practically, you know, leveled by that fire. Did they want it? No. Did they expect it? No. Were they prepared? Yes and no. They had all the system in place and none of the sirens went off. They had this in place and none of that helped. It went so fast. It was beyond all the preparations that anyone could have made. It was out of their control. Even though so many plans. And then what do we think of Hawaii? We think of the perfect place. Don't we? And we think, I could never afford to live there. You know, we think of the perfect place, the perfect climate. And the devastation and the trauma of those that have survived, and what to speak of the ones that lost their lives in that. How much perplexity that just that one incident, which we're seeing is practically a monthly, you know, affair these days in different shapes and forms. Okay, so, and this is what we're talking about in the Gita. These are called life traumas. You know, we have some study says, sorry, that's as far as I can tell you from the authoritative point of view. Some study says that every person will go through 3 to 5 life trauma situations in the course of their life. And so we're talking trauma. A loved one will die, or a very dear relationship will break, or you'll be in a certain circumstances and, you know, you'll be financially destitute all of a sudden from unforeseen, you know what I mean? Things like, we're talking major thing. Everyone will go through something like that. And where will we turn at those times? Hopefully we'll have turned previously and during those trying times to the scriptures, which give us a warning. Bhagavad Gita is giving us this warning. Krishna says, Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. Ugh, we don't even like to hear it. Dukkhalayam. Alayam means a place. It doesn't mean a liar. I'm not talking about someone who speaks untruth. Alayam is a place. So if you're a little familiar with Sanskrit and Hindi and stuff, there's Bhojalayam, a place of eating. There's Vidyalayam, a place of learning, or a university or a library, whatever. And what does Krishna call this material world? Dukkhalayam, dukkha, a place of misery and suffering. So just imagine, we're getting it certified by the person who created the system here, Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. It's a wake-up call. We're thinking that we're going to be happy. We're thinking, I've got my whole life ahead of me. I'm going to get the right job. And there's no Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. I need to get my priorities straight. So that's another thing about decision making. What's our priority? What's our priority? What's our priority? If it's material goals, will definitely end up crashed on the side of the road somewhere at some time for some length of time. But if we have a spiritual goal in life, if we keep our spiritual goals forefront of our decision-making process, then we'll perhaps more likely choose a career that will facilitate that spiritual goal. We'll choose this that will facilitate that. We won't choose things that completely take away all of our time. We don't have any time for our spiritual practices or whatever. Or we won't choose something that will compromise our religious principles day in and day out. So we have to keep the spiritual goal in life as one of our forefront in our mind all the time. And that will also help us make a good decision on how we pursue different choices in life. I'm determined to finish the first paragraph. Okay. They are like a forest fire that somehow blazes without being set by anyone. Similarly, the world situation is such that perplexities of life automatically appear without our wanting such confusions. Now, Srila Prabhupada, as you well know, he didn't write this yesterday. He didn't write it last year. He didn't write it the last election either. Ha ha ha, sorry. He didn't, but it's so pertinent, isn't it? to the situation that, you know, that we're experiencing now. Similarly, the world situation is such that perplexities of life automatically appear without our wanting such confusion. No one wants fire, yet it takes place, and we become perplexed. Why did those innocent people die in that fire? Bhagavad Gita also gives us information to that effect also, too, to understand the results of activities. Every activity has its reaction. And what are those reactions? How are those reactions going to accrue and play out in our life? Well, we need to keep that in mind. Bhagavad Gita gives us a guideline for that also. The Vedic wisdom therefore advises that in order to solve the perplexities of life and to understand the science of the solution, one must approach a spiritual master who is in the disciplic succession. So disciplic succession, it's a term that we use a lot in Krishna consciousness. Disciplic succession means that the information that's been given by the Lord passed down to the spiritual master, and he passes it on unchanged, uninterrupted, completely. He passes it on completely to his disciples. The disciples learn it, practice it, and they pass it on completely and intact to the next generation, the next personalities. In other words, the information is the same information that originally was there when the universe was created. That's a mind-boggling thing also. But anyway, so the information is there. So the solution is already tried and tested and tried and comes up with a solution. Now, does it mean that somebody who is aspiring for spiritual life won't have a life trauma?
No.
Does it mean that some of us aren't going through traumas as we speak? No, we are. But there's a difference between somebody who doesn't understand the value of human life and the purpose of human life, and somebody who thinks that by doing this and this and that in life, I'll be happy, and therefore when I did this and this and this and I didn't come happy, then I'm like, you know, devastated. It's different to be going through trials and tribulations in knowledge and in ignorance. It's a total different thing. So that's why a spiritual guide will help us. So you don't sit on bugs, or they don't come under you anyway. Okay, all right. Now listen to this one, okay? A person with a bona fide spiritual master is supposed to know everything. What do you think about that, Jitari Prabhu? How about if I edit it like this? A person with a bona fide spiritual master is supposed to know everything that's important in life. That puts it in better perspective, right? Okay? And that's what the point that Srila Prabhupada's making there. A person with a bona fide spiritual master realizes that that bug on the floor is a spirit soul, and therefore he doesn't deserve to be killed unnecessarily, and therefore I'm going to try really hard to get him up and move him to a safer location where he won't get squished. And thank you for doing that, even though it's a little hard. But a person who has a bona fide spiritual master will understand what the values of life are and then will do their best to guide their life in that way, manipulate their life in that way, so that they'll not be and this is another thing that's totally misunderstood, misled, forgotten, not even thought about at all in quote-unquote materialistic life, that every action has a reaction. Every action that we do has a reaction. So if I think that I'm going to just be a good person, I'm not going to steal, I'm not going to this, I'm not going to bother people, I'm not going to do this, I'm going to be nice and most of the time, and et cetera, et cetera. I'm just going to be a good person, and therefore I should have a good life. Well, there's a lot more to that than that. Because what is a good person? Oh, well, gee, I never thought of that. You know, I mean, what is a good person? Krishna explains that a good person will see that there's a spirit soul inside every living entity. Not just the people that I like, but even the ones that are giving me a hard time. Their spirit souls, their part and parcel of Krishna. Not just the people that are in my political group, but even the opponents, their spirit souls. Not just the people, but the trees and the grass. Not just the trees and the grass, but the animals. And yes, I really like animals. I take really good care of my dog. And I eat a cow. It doesn't make spiritual sense. And unless we have the teachings of the Gita, the scriptures, and the spiritual master showing us how to apply them, we'll be sure to make a mistake that will cause us to come back and try again to be happy and have different difficulties in that process. And there was something I was going to say about... I was just going to explain that before I came in contact with Krishna consciousness, I never once, not even for a half of a second, made a connection between who I'm eating or what I'm eating and the harm that I'm causing. Never occurred to me. I thought I was a good person. I took care of my dog. I did this, I did that. I didn't kill the cow. I didn't even consider that it was a cow or a pig or whomever else it was, you know. And not until I, by Krishna's kindness and Srila Prabhupada's kindness, then I read that and I thought, oh my Krishna, it makes so much sense. So how can someone think that they're, you know, without these bona fide scriptural guidance in life, how can we be good people? There's a nice devotee, Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. He's come here often, but not often enough. He's expert at making little phrases that really bring home nice philosophical points. And he says, our first priority is to keep our first priority. Our first priority. Isn't that brilliant? Our first priority is to keep it our first priority. Otherwise, our first priority will get pushed to the side. Excuse me. So this was and was the position of Arjun, and he took that momentous and correct decision to turn towards someone who is more spiritually attuned than him, and he had the opportunity to turn towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we also have that opportunity. We also have that opportunity to turn towards people who are more spiritually attuned and to read Srila Prabhupada's books and become familiar with these teachings and to... As we experience some of the perplexities of life, we'll be fortified with that spiritual vitamins, spiritual ammunition, spiritual sustenance, so that we'll be able to keep our first priority, make spiritual advancement, and do your level best, follow the instructions of the spiritual master, and get out of the entanglement of this material world to the extent of totally out. Because, and that's another thing that Bhagavad Gita gives us information, there is another place. There is that place that's beyond the cycle of birth, old age, disease, and death. So that's just a few thoughts on that subject matter. Does anyone want to add or correct or reflect, or you just prefer to exit? Comments or questions? Chitari Prabhu, thank you.
You were quoting what's his name? Chaitanya Charan.
Chaitanya Charan, yes.
So it kind of reminded me, I went to this motivational seminar one time.
Uh-huh.
And so they did this little experiment. They brought these two two pitchers up on the stage, and they said, okay, now, and then they had a pile of rocks on the side and some sand, and they said, okay, what, how are you going to get all this in there, you know? And,
yeah, that's a great one, that visual, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really great. So obviously they said, put in the priority, the big ones first. So do your big things first.
Big things first.
And then everything else.
Things, and then the sand will trickle down. Yeah. Yeah, big things, keep the big things first in your life. And that, and another way, another tip, which I didn't even speak about, but anyway, another tip to keep the big things first in your life, associate with people who have similar goals in life. Otherwise, all of our determination will be stolen away from us. Thank you very kindly. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go to the next.